prison. And you, imagine Jesus adding to these few verses that Matthew is writing. When I was in the crosshairs of human hatred, you sheltered me. You sheltered me. The Tree of Life congregation is in the Squirrel Hill section of Pittsburgh. It was Fred Rogers' real neighborhood. If you have seen the recent movie on his life, you remember him saying, "When I was a little boy, when I would see scary things in the news, my mother would say to me, 'Look for the helpers. You will always find people who are helping.'" Isn't that what Jesus was saying about the saints he will welcome into God's love when he comes in glory? In every instance, they were the helpers who helped God's most vulnerable children. "All Jews must die," the shooter shouted as he shot his AK-15 into a congregation like this congregation. And the helpers ran toward him. "Why, hello there, Hyas," the shooter posted, referring to Hebrew immigrant aid society, "with whom we will be working and for whom we are praying this morning. You like to bring in hostile invaders to dwell among us that kill our people? I can't sit by and watch my people get slaughtered. Screw your optics, I'm going in." And he did. Hyas were the helpers, helping those whom the world and apparently this nation of immigrants now despises, fears. The helpers of whom Jesus will say when he comes in glory, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, thirsty, a stranger, naked, sick, in prison, a Jew, an immigrant, and you helped me." If sometime in the last 23 years you ask me what you can do to have a closer relationship with God, chances are I did not respond by handing you a book on improving your prayer life. Instead, as a minister steeped from childhood in the Reformed theological tradition, I probably invited you to spend a Saturday working with Habitat, or a night sleeping with our guests of Philadelphia Interfaith Housing Network, or a morning reading to children at Freedom School, or a day chopping vegetables and serving meals at face to face. In the words of Nikolai Berdyaev, "The question of bread for myself is a material question. The question of bread for my neighbor is a spiritual question." Presbyterians are Matthew 25 Christians. It is a Reformed imperative. Over against the medieval monastic tradition that believed a human being's highest calling was the contemplation of God, the Reformers believed that obedience to God's will in the world was the highest human calling. They believed that God was in the world, picking up the pieces, and that the followers of Jesus were to spend their lives literally asking every moment how they could be a part of God's work in the world. To say with the Reformers this morning that we are a part of the priesthood of all believers is not to say, as many think, that each of us has a direct pipeline to God without Rome or the saints. It is to acknowledge, in these mean and dangerous times, that each of us is to be a priest to the other, representing Christ to the other, seeing Christ in the other. Starts from Bratislava, Jonas. We've been members here at PCC for nearly 20 years, and shortly after we first started coming here, we wanted to find a way to get involved in outreach. We were still new to Philadelphia. At the time, we weren't very aware of the problem of hunger outside of our little community. But we learned over time that Philadelphia is one of the most food insecure cities in the country. Food insecurity is the USDA's definition of the measure of lack of access to enough food for an active, healthy life for all household members. The national food insecurity rate is nearly 13%, and Philadelphia is 21%. Nearly 1 in 5 people in our city does not have enough food to sustain a healthy, active life. A lack of food has detrimental effects on both physical and mental health. An increase in a person's risk for developing health problems. Many people facing hunger are forced to make tough choices between buying food and medical bills, food and rent, or food and transportation. Hunger in our community is one problem that one person or one congregation cannot solve, although one person or one congregation can help. With our family's desire to get involved in outreach, we saw something in the building of our brother's place, which PCC has been supporting since we arrived, I think, even before we arrived, I recall. Suzanne Wilcox and Bill Evans, many of the announcements and talking about it. The men's shelter on Hamilton Street, the Springwater section of Philadelphia. We started out making Sloppy Joes and short order joined one of the serving teams on Fourth Sunday, and it was eye-opening. Not only for us, but for our girls, who were born and raised in Uber White, New Hampshire. Seeing hunger and homelessness in the face of the family of Sean and certain people. But that first time put a face on the issue for us. Our daughter Caroline, who wanted to go back for the very next night to serve. Serving's been rewarding for Liz and for me and for our family. And while we no longer send teams to serve, we still provide food. The Sloppy Joe ministry continues to thrive as a way for people of all ages to help. People from 9 to 90, I'm looking at you, and are religiously bringing Sloppy Joes every fourth Sunday. And Charles, who are by this place, waits for that call from Anthony every month to come up and pick up our Sloppy Joes, our rolls, vegetables, and fruits, which are generously donated by Stu and Judy Payne. Our crumbs go a long way. How else could this new church really wake up? PCC has also supported and continues to support the food pantry at Truman Tabernacle Crisis Ministry, with monthly donations of food and with annual appeals to their Thanksgiving basket donations, so that our neighbors on the avenue struggling with poverty can put food on their table and enjoy a Thanksgiving meal as well. GACF is celebrating its 21st anniversary, and our church is instrumental in its founding, continues to provide the financial support beyond the cash and food contributions for our congregation. Through our church's support of the crisis ministry, and this is 4.6 miles down the road from here, it's a totally different world. But through our support, in particular, we're transporting a turkey stuffed Subaru wagon down there one Sunday in November 3 years ago. I had the opportunity to meet and to get to know Eileen Jones, the tireless and passionate director of the ministry and advocate for those who are serve. This was from my volunteering job, tax preparation. Get to know people here on a daily basis and see the types of people that are being spoken. And about 2 years ago, in a totally coincidental fortuitous meeting with Eileen, she told us of a new life skills certificate program they were developing called Thrive. Taking hold, reaching in, investing everything. An 8-week, 24-hour program, a life skills course. And they had all the pieces in place, but she was really struggling to find somebody who could do a 6-hour course on teaching financial literacy. It all starts with the back of Sloppy Joes.
classes in there, programs of success. I lead and we're working on a one-on-one financial mentoring program for individuals who can't take the classes. It's exhilarating to make that. And Cindy and Elizabeth did when we attended the gala a month ago at GACM. The 5 graduates who spoke about the program mentioned and remembered the classes. Our most recent partner face-to-face was probably about a year and a half ago. The social media community for something more local that could accept families and children as volunteers. So face-to-face is on Pearl Street in Germantown, closer than 4.6 miles. They've been in Germantown for 20 years. They provide a variety of services, beyond daily meals, a nurse-managed health center, legal center, social services center, early child education. They serve 2,500 people annually. And they strive to welcome struggling families, individuals, and the homeless, and treat them with dignity and respect. That's a mission statement. Dignity and respect, but we all want it, and we all deserve it. Meals and face-to-face are prepared by Chef Alfred, who is from Haiti, learned to cook for his grandmother. And he has this as goal. Nothing appetizing. I think when he cooks, it's fresh, it's nutritious, it's delicious, and he will be the first to tell you emphatically, we are not a soup kitchen. Guests at face-to-face are seated at tables that are served by volunteers, dignity and respect. In one of my volunteer times, I was struck by a conversation with a volunteer from the Prairie. Who's an artist, Sandy Mazars, long story short, talking to her about Soul Shot, I believe she's going to be one of the, or at least what was in process to become one of the artists for this program. Outreach Rolls Co-ed. I look back at our first baby step on the ranch to make sloppy doughs that was evolved into for me and my family. I'm starting to think about on Friday what I would say this morning, and I twisted it way more previously. Receive my daily verse and voice email from Sojourners, which is a group committed to putting faith into action for social justice. It contained the verse from the first Gospel of John and said, how does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses help? Many of you serve, actively behind the scenes, through our congregation or through other groups. I hope that you all stay for coffee hour and learn more about our outreach, how many people are involved, how you can help. And perhaps we inspired to start this by a sloppy choice to see what it means. Thank you.
Did you know that each month, 26% of residents in Philadelphia have to choose between purchasing food or paying their rent? On any given night in this country, 20% of the homeless children are children under the age of 8 or under the age of 18. Our family started volunteering with PEN, an organization that helps homeless families. When we first joined the church, because my parents knew that even as little kids, we could be involved, I like to go. Sometimes we have a great conversation. We have grand guests don't want to talk to us, and it's a little awkward. Other times we have great conversation and end up running around with the other kids. Luke and my mom want to tell you about 2 experiences. When my mom asked me about my experiences at PIN, I immediately thought of one person. One evening, I was serving at PIN. There was a mom who looked very different. I couldn't help but notice her. She was very friendly and seemed like a great mom, not only playing with her kids. Afterward, my mom explained that the reason the mom looked so different was because she had been badly burned. Every once in a while, we will see her around town, waiting for the bus in front of Lovett Library or in the parking lot of Acme. A few months ago, my mom showed me an article in the newspaper about this mom. She had been severely burned when she was only 6 months old during a house fire. She had both a college and graduate degree, but her burns often prevented her from getting work, and she ended up homeless. Through PIN's help, she is now in stable housing with her 3 children. One evening sticks out to me particularly. I started talking to a woman and discovered She was the older sister of one of my former students. We had an instant bond after I shared how much I enjoyed listening to her younger brother play drums. After catching up, she began to explain why she was at Penn. I can't remember the exact details, but it went something like this. Her apartment had been flooded, and the landlord was completely unresponsive. After tiring of sitting in mildew and having no running water, she reported her landlord to the city. Subsequently, the building was condemned. She was forced to move out, becoming homeless. The unfairness of this is, of course, infuriating, and in the moment, I could only commiserate. I have no idea where she is now, but I'm thankful the young woman felt comfortable enough to share her story with me. Finally, I'm grateful to be part of a church that prioritizes mission. It has given my family so many opportunities to have fellowship with so many folks here in Philadelphia.
This is an opportunity for me to share something that I care a great deal about and have a lot of passion about. I'm going to try to speak slowly because I've been learning, even though I tend to accelerate. In any sense, I want to focus mostly on the Broad Street Ministry, which is very near and dear to my heart. When the Chambers Valley Church closed about 15 years ago on South Broad Street, as often happens, the Presbytery sort of automatically thought about selling this book. I know you've been on the process, and of course, we're paying money for that right away. And we went to place it where the boilers used to be. There were boxes out all over the place. And I said, well, what's all the boxes? What's in all the boxes? Well, what they're in that was in the boxes was thousands and thousands of toothpaste. So somebody wanted to make a donation, and I said, well, take whatever you got. Next thing you know, they had a tractor trailer with toothpaste. So I don't donate that. I think they're fixed with toothpaste for a while. But my message really is that you're so satisfied. There's nothing wrong with feeding people who need to be fed. I'm not the kind of person who's going to stand on the parkway and say, you know, dip your ball in that little bucket. If you need to be fed, you should be fed. But I think the goal should be, can you do something better? Can you make something of yourself? Can you aspire to do something that is better for you so that you have dignity? And so perhaps you can have other friends, family, whatever. When he got married, I think about 2 years ago, he's very responsible and a pretty intelligent guy. I mean, it's amazing when you have people that are down and out, he was homeless. He came in, they saw his potential, they put him on. He works with the boy, he's extremely intelligent, very much. And nobody ever would have known that if that opportunity was not there. It's not always native ability, sometimes it's opportunities presented. So I encourage you to consider doing something with the Broad Street District. We donate money as a church, they can always use plenty more of our own money. Donate your time, your talents, and treasure. I'm assuring you, if you can go there and help out, you will get back more than you get. It's an amazing experience. And I'd like to answer questions from people, but we have a very rich online presence. I will tell you that if you type Broad Street District in your browser, you'll get more information, and you'll know what to do with it. You'll find it fascinating. I think people want to get involved, and I encourage them. I probably ran over a little bit, but it's all important. Thank you.
I would like to introduce you to Zaki Alford. And when he was a baby, here he is, his grandmother, his Mimi, called him Big Head. His grandmother is Sonia Dixon. He was a really cute baby with a very big head. Later, she would call him her Zaza Man. He loved nursing. And he would go to his mom and open her shirt. See what I did here? Yes. Constantly. And he would be teased for this pretty much his whole life. He loved to do tricks on his bike. Pretty much from the time he learned to ride until he became a young man. He was a good cook. He loved to help his Mimi in the kitchen. He was a boy with a Kool-Aid smile. But she remembers him more often with a pensive demeanor. He was a bit of a screw-up in his teen years, which hardly ever happens. However, he was able to turn himself around, and he finished a leadership course. There's a little diploma there. His top honors. He was shot and killed right before the graduation ceremony. While sitting in Sonia's living room looking through photos, meeting one of his best friends and his brother, there was the poignant atmosphere of the joy of remembering him mixed with the anger of losing him. The closest I had previously come to gun violence was answering the phone one December morning several years ago and hearing my son Charlie say, Mom, there's someone shooting in school and I can't find Cole. That's his brother. Sorry. Although they were not physically harmed, but that penetrating fear we felt that day is something we will never, never forget. Sonia and many, many more like her live with that fear daily. In fact, Zaki's brother, Sonia's other grandson, was shot and killed 2 weeks ago. The Portrait Project Souls Shot is giving hope to the families of victims. I hope that others will see what we are losing because of this epidemic and give witness to the value of these lost and tragically altered lives. project will keep going, and keep in the eloquent words of one of the artists, Anna Coker, an invitational rather than confrontational approach to growing the kind of empathy that leads to real heart change. Thank you.
Let us pray. In the hope of your enormous love, dear God, the broken bend, the lame hands, the hungry feast, the homeless tent, the mourning rejoice, the dead arise. As your kingdom is breaking in even now on the streets of this city and in the hearts of those who long to see your face, hear our prayers for your children, whose needs are known to you before they are a word on our tongues. Let us pray for the end of hunger and for those who are hungry today. When you reign, the hungry will be filled with good things. Until that day, send us to those who hunger now with evidence of your reign begun, in cupboards filled, sloppy toes served, fear of want ended, and tables set with abundance of your good creation shared by all. We thank you for the faithfulness of Eileen Jones and those who tend the clients of the Georgetown Avenue Crisis Ministry, for the staff, the guests, and volunteers at Face to Face, for the radical hospitality of Broad Street Ministry. Let us pray to the Lord.
Pray for the end of gun violence, even as we pray for those wrongly incarcerated. When you reign, your children will live peacefully with one another. Until that day, make us to hear the blood of our slain brothers and sisters that cries out to us from the ground, and activate us to change those things in missions and neighborhoods that order our common life for us. We pray for the families of those who died at the Kroger's in Kentucky, on street corners near us, and at the Tree of Life synagogue in Pittsburgh, worshippers and police officers alike. We thank you for the witness of heeding God's call to end that violence, for the lives remembered in the portraits of souls shot, in the shirts of the memorial to the lost soon to be erected by the youth of this church at our front lawn, and for the work of Centurion Ministries as they set the innocent free, let us pray to God. Require more of our time and honor and treasures as we share abundantly in support of these ministries until our life is ended.
Let us pray for an end to the human trafficking and for the young living in the grip of this evil today. When you reign, none will be exploited for gain, none will be used as objects for pleasure. The young will not be violated or coerced or taken against their will. Until that day, open our eyes to the plight of those who are lost in the hidden world of abuse and fear, of violence and addiction. We thank you for the work of Montgomery County Anti-Human Trafficking Coalition, for the hope offered young women who have found a home at Dawn's Place,
in homeless outreach and shelter for men, and for our ongoing work with Habitat for Humanity. Let us pray to the Lord. Let us pray for the education of our children and for those called to a life of learning today. When you reign, the darkness of ignorance will be dispelled, and your children will live in the light of the knowledge of your glory. Until that time, forgive our neglect of the minds of our children and help us transform every classroom in this city into a free space where children can dream dreams and where teachers have the resources to ignite curiosity. We thank you for the vision of achievability and its commitment to the education of parents and children alike, and for the teachers and children in Freedom School who spend the summer exploring the worlds that await them in books. Let us pray to the Lord. Let us pray for the health of your children everywhere, and for those in need of healing today. When you reign, the broken will be healed, disease will come to an end, and your victory over death will be complete. Until that day, make us mindful of the sick with no physician, the vulnerable who are forgotten and without help, the multitudes that live in fear of catastrophe. We thank you for the homeless given care by St. Vincent de Paul Medical Respite and for the worldwide reach of the Presbyterian Medical Benevolence Fund. Let us pray to the Lord. Require more of our time, talent, and treasures as we share abundantly in support of these ministries until all have access to health care. Let us pray for the ministry of the youth in this congregation and for the gifts of their lives to this church. When you reign, the dreams of the young and the vision of the old will be one. Until that day, enlarge our weary hearts, open our closed minds, inspire and enliven us with the witness of our youth and the stories they tell of people in need whose plight we can barely imagine. We thank you for the time and talents and energy of Brian Rinsdell, the adult advisors, and the youth of this church. Let us pray to the Lord. Require more of our time, talents, and treasures, as we share our communities for our relationships and outreach of our lives for our youth. Let us pray for refugees around the world and for those given sanctuary to every covenant. You bring none will live in fear as they flee across borders. Until that day, strengthen our resolve as we work with the Interfaith Syrian Student Support Group, as we educate children in refugee camps in Lebanon, as we join with First United Methodist Church of Germantown to give sanctuary to families seeking safety, as we work with Hebrew Immigrant Aid Service, IAS, to help those seeking a future in this nation. Let us pray to the Lord. Thank you.